Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. Thank you, O God, for the privilege as your children we could gather together under the canopies of your precious word. As we've gathered around today, O God, our lives are like open books before thee. You know our comings and our goings, O God, and you know what lies before us. And Father, you have ordained and purposed in your mind, Father, before the foundation of this world, of who, Lord, you will call to serve you in a particular role. The drama that they will play upon this earth, the time they will start and the time they will end. We are not in control of the great script that you wrote, Father, but you just placed us here on this stage called life. And we are called, O God, to strive towards excellence. So that, O God, that in this age that we're living in, with so much of stresses and strains, the trials, the tribulations that we go through, the people, the situations and the things, and events that take place in our life, Lord, can so often bring us down and cause our hearts, Lord, to sink, and Lord, to question your will. But when we look at, Lord, all this now through the ministry and through the open book, we realize that you use these things, Father, so that we could overcome. We could develop an attitude, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to your precious name. As we pause to think of the many that, Lord, are unwell in the bodies, those that are celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries, we bring to you, O God, the fivefold ministry, the sister churches of the apostle and his family, the prophet's family as well, we commit them unto thee. Even as we would continue this morning, and Lord, as you remember those, Lord, that have supported the work with the tithings and offerings and the presence as well, we ask, O God, that you remember your servant behind the sacred desk. Thank you for the government of our church. Thank you, Lord, for every department that serves you to ensure that it brings honor to you. We pray, O God, even as we continue, bless us. We pray now as we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters, as we take our scripture reading from the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 20. Don't know what happened on that projector, but let's see. Are we bringing it up, brothers, on that slide, or is it? All right, so whilst we're trying to get technology sorted out, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. We take your seats this morning. Is my notes coming up, brethren? Okay, it's up there. I think, okay, just leave it as it is. Okay, so now we're doing overcoming bridal attitude, but I just detoured a little bit to show you some things that God had in his mind. Amen. And it's our prayer that even as we go into some of the things that we would discuss, we would go back and we would go forward just so that you have a better understanding. Now, we spoke about this great God. And in order to understand this great God, we got to understand the things that are visible. Because the scripture says the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. It's a very, very key scripture. In anything that you want to understand the seventh seal. Because we use what we call the Alpha and the Omega principle. If you don't understand or you don't know what will the end be, all you need to do is to look what the beginning is. If you don't know what the beginning is, you look what the end is. Okay? That which was will be. And the Bible goes on to say there is nothing new under the sun. So You know, many a times we are praying for God and His will upon our lives. And I did say to you that if you have a need, you should not be looking for a need outside the Word of God, which is the revealed Word and the Bible and ministry that you are sitting under. Because if you are, that means you are saying to me that God doesn't know everything. What you're saying is that the problems that you are going through is so unique. That is why you have to go to people like Google and Yahoo or speak to a non-believer regarding your problems. Because your very character, exactly what you are going through, there is somebody in the message, in the Bible, in one of the teachings that you have done, that will reflect who you are. Because spirits never change. Spirits never change. Because you might say, but I'm so unique. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe, that your problem is absolutely unique, that nobody in the world is going through it. And that is why we're doing this subject. I started this many years ago on mastery to serve. And we're looking at overcoming bridal aptitude. But before I go into that, I want to settle your mind that no matter what you think is taking place in your life, it already has been in the mind of God. You know, now, when we want to understand what took place before Genesis 1:1, which is actually before the foundation. Now, many a times when you read your Bible, you think that the beginning is the start. It's not so. Because now we are discovering that beginning is a time. Beginning is a time. And you and I are limited species, limited beings, in that we don't really, if I had to put down a series of a million or a trillion zeros, and I have to put a one before that, you and I will not be in a position to even call what it means. Because we can count maybe to a billion, and now they're going to, they said they are billionaires, and now they're calling, they will be the first trillionaire by 2025. Okay? After that, I don't know what they're going to call them. Because our minds are finite. We are absolutely limited by what we are doing. So let's examine a few things, what this prophet of God is talking about. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? He says he dwelt alone. Now, when I say I'm dwelling alone, it means I am alone. It means there is nobody there with me. And as we broke into the subject, because I thought I would just go in and come out, I just realized that I have to go more into it to prove to you that there's a God who has a son, and that the son was not there with him when he was alone. So we're switching over as well to the board. So remember that we spoke about absolute eternity. Now you might tell me, but why do you use the word absolute eternity? Because remember, there is a world which we will now term the eighth dimension. All right, the eighth dimension. You might say, but why do y'all call it eighth dimension? Because we live in a world that is with time and matter and space. Okay, we are only used to the four dimensions. But there's a dimension. Now, why do we call it absolute eternity? Because he was the only one that existed. Okay, he was the only one that existed. Now, the prophet of God says he dwelt alone with these attributes. So we're going to go into that part of it, and we're going to go into the seventh as well. So there's the eighth and there is the seventh. So we're going to go forward and we're going to go backwards. until you can understand, and you can understand a few things, like when the prophet speaks about the Logos, when he speaks about the word prefigured, when you begin to understand that Jesus is God, Jesus is Logos, what do you mean? How is it? So you're going to understand the language of it. And so, absolute eternity. That means he was alone. There was nothing there. The prophet of God says there was nothing but God alone, but he had thoughts. Now, this being, if you were to ask me, what is this being made up of? I don't know. I don't know. But I can put down a few things that this being will have. One, he's got attributes, which are his thoughts. Okay? Attributes. And what we also know, that we don't know what he's made up, his substance. Is that a good word? Okay? What is he made up of? I don't know. But what I can tell you, that he is the originator. This is the originator. He is the originator. And importantly, he doesn't have to consult with anybody because he is sovereign. Please excuse my spelling. I think too fast. I have this problem all the time. But I think you know what I'm talking about, okay? And here again now, he is going to sit down and he is going to work out his plans. So whilst he's alone, he is going to work out all his plans. So his plans are actually his thoughts. His plans are actually his thoughts. And you might say, but well, he says he just like an architect, he sits down his mind and draws out what he thinks it is he's going to build. And you know, sometimes when I look at this here, people say, but you know, we Brother Louis, you know, we don't understand how to run our life. Here's a good example. God, before he could do something, he was not even God, he sits down and he works the plan. Now, there's a concept that I teach people, is that if you want to know your natural life, I'm talking about your natural life, if you really want to have a good life, ask yourself what the end is. What do you want your end to look like? Your marriage. You want to get married? How do you want your marriage to be? Where do you want to live? How much salary you want to earn? I remember when I was courting my wife, I was still in campus that time, I would sit down and say, listen, this is my plan. Obviously, that time she... when you caught you don't think, but I remember talking to myself, this is what I want to have, this is the house I want to have, this is the dogs I want to have, you know, and the children, you know, that we want to have, and what the role you're going to play. Now, I can talk about that from my experience. If you really want to, you really want to have a good family life, a good business, you know, I also taught once this before, is that we're living in a world where people don't know what is enough. And so the enemy uses what we call classes. First class, second class, third class. You have shirts of what you call polyester, cotton, 100%. What you call 1-ply, 2-ply, 3-ply, 4-ply cotton. Why? The world has designed that to create classes, but what we don't understand is it is a subtle form of pressure upon the people. So people don't even know, you know, what is the distraction. The distraction is that if the enemy can take you away from the word and devote your life purely to the material of this world, he's got you. That is why you find business people, they work so hard, their business are doing very well, and then they go and buy themselves a couple of assets. Those assets put them into debt, so they need more money. So they go out there and get more contracts. And then they get the contract or they get that promotion at work, And they say, okay, you know what? I need to change my house. I need to upgrade my house now. So they upgrade the house. Now the installments went higher. They say, oh my goodness, I'm running into financial debt. So they go out and look for something else. What do you think happens in the end? You got no time for God. You got to be like how God was. Draw a line, sit down, ask your children, where are we going to? If you're in a financial mess, you don't know how to get out of the mess, look at yourself, find out what your debt is, go through your bank statements, go through everything. Look, this is what my debt is. My debt is 1,000 rands, 2,000, 20,000, 1 million, 20 million, 100 million, whatever it is, it might be. Okay, so this is my debt. How much do I make? How much do I have to make for the year? How much do I have to make for 5 years so that I can come out of my debt? God sat down in his mind. He began to draw. He said, this is what I'm going to build. Even when if you want to get married, even if you want to start a home, those of you whose marriages are just, you're just existing. You don't know what you're doing in your life. You must sit down and ask yourself, what is my role as a father, as a mother, as a husband? What's my role? Get to understand my role. And where you go, because I don't believe that as a believer that we should not enjoy our Christian walk. I believe in living comfortably. I believe that we need to enjoy our families. I believe that we need to give our best to God. But many of us don't have a plan in our natural life. You don't have a plan. You don't know what you're doing. You wake up in the morning and some of you don't even know why you're working. If I had to ask you today, why are you working? You don't even know why you're working. So God sat down. He says he is an architect. And he began to, he says, now create. Now he cannot create. He can take something that's been created and make it into a form. Because God is the only way he can create. He gets in his mind what he's going to do and that his thoughts and his desires. So that means now all the plans, all his thoughts, all his desires, he sits. You know, one of the key things about life, if you are under a lot of pressure in life, you know, you're so stressed. Have you ever tried to sit down alone first thing in the morning and last thing at night? Try and do that. First thing in the morning and last thing at night. You say, but Brother Louis, where do you get that from? The Bible, it says meditate. Meditate. You know, most of us, we sleep with our phones by our bedside, and every time there's a ching, 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 you're reading your WhatsApp because some bored wife or some bored brother, he's got nothing to do, so he keeps sending you WhatsApps. Okay? And so whole day you're looking at this. It's a distraction from you to serve the Lord. Put it away from your bed and focus. The last thing you should be doing is sit down and be grateful for what God has been doing for you during the day. The first thing you should be waking up with gratitude and thanking God for a wonderful day. You know, for those of you that are under stress and strain and so forth, and you don't know how to run your day, the night before, plan your day, plan what you want to do for the next day. Five things that you should be doing for that one day. Five things. Put down five things that you need to do. Write it down. I need to cook. I need to iron. I need to polish. I need to wash my car. I need to go certain places. And you'll find out that you've got so much of time to serve the Lord. We're living in a terrible time where the enemy can get you neurotic. So what happens? You wake up in the morning and you don't know what to do. And you just live your life by the day. And you're under pressure. You're screaming. You're ranting and raving. Did you ever see Jesus Christ excited? Did you ever see him in a hurry? Did you ever see him under pressure? No, because the key was the Father sat down and worked a plan. And all the Son did was to go by the plan. Okay, that's a little bit for those of you that can't catch everything else that I'm going to say this morning. All right. So, heaven is eternal, my notes, okay? Heaven is eternal. So that dimension that we are talking about is eternal. But we don't know anything about these heavens. We don't know much. Why? Because he was alone. There was no atoms. Absolutely atoms. There was no matter. There was no light. You don't know what's taking place, but he was just with his thoughts, right? He was just with his thoughts. And we find that there was no forms, that there was no forms, there was no shapes. Whether or not it came immediately, those things that he's going to do, or whether it took a billion years or a trillion years, we don't know. So there's no atoms of any form, whether it's a spiritual atom or a natural atom, then there's no shape and form here. This means there's a form of life that can exist without shape and form. If you ask me, what was existing there was life, was an energy, was a source, was an originator. He was, he was neither father, neither was he a God. Okay? So he was not a father, he was not a God. All right? So the prophet uses the word, the Hebrew word, self-existing. He was existing by himself, self-existing. And whilst he was existing by himself, we find that he was, he had in his mind the thoughts that he's going to have, the plans that he's going to have, all right? And he had no shape, he had no form. So we are so used to everything that has a form because of matter. Okay, because of matter, because of the dimensions we live. Now, if I had to ask you today, about this great this air, can you see anything in the atmosphere? You say, look, I can't see anything. Now, to you, it is empty. The space here is empty, but it's not really, because there are microorganisms that are here that you and I can't see, which we say, but there's nothing here. But I will tell you that there's something out there which is invisible. But it's actually not really invisible. It's invisible to me and you because we are limited in our sight. Okay? But if we have to use scientific equipment and we have to magnify it or whatever they use nowadays, I'll say, oh my goodness, but there's dust particles here. Can you see there's a minute organism creeping here? There's an egg, there's a larva that's flying around. Because we are limited. So when you look into that eighth dimension, all we know, he was self-existing. Now we use the word invisible because he's not really invisible. It's because you and I are limited. We can't see him. You know, we can't see him through the natural eyes. Now, you say, but brother, you just said that he is a spirit. Here, I don't know what he is. Okay? In the absolute eternity, I don't know what he is here. You say, but what is he made of? I don't know what he's made of. But what I can tell you, It's a source. It's living. It's got life. There's energy there. And having energy there, just keep this board open, okay? Having energy there, you'd find that he wants to now start planning. And so he has what you call thoughts. He has desires. He doesn't have to consult with everybody. I am laboring this point because believe me, when we do take over, when we start going to another level, these things are going to help you. And you're going to start connecting Logos. You're going to connect in John 1:1 very quickly. And then we'll swing back to bridal attitude. So everything that has to start, everything that has to come, will have to come from whatever he had thoughts. Whatever thoughts he had, whatever thoughts. Now remember this. That in that dimension that we have labeled it as the eighth dimension, he is not going to go back to that absolute eternity. He's not going to go back to that absolute eternity because he will no longer be alone. When he steps into time, When he steps into time, he's not going to be alone. All right. Now, so when you're reading your Bible, right, I want you to understand that there was no God in absolute eternity. There was no God. You see, but because God is an object of worship. Are you with me? God is an object of worship. And just one second, I need to point so you'll understand. So when you're looking at this here, God is, there's no God here. Just the self-existing being. He is a being. What the being is made of, I don't know. It's made of energy, it's life. And yay, this being is planning with all the thoughts, all the desires, okay? And nothing can be there that he did not have in his mind, in the original mind. Now remember that everything that we are seeing, the original thoughts and so forth, are only in the mind of God. There's no angels there. There's no God. There's no angels. Okay? Let me switch to my notes. So there's no God. There's no angels. There's no Son of God. There's no Son of God. Now remember this, that we hopped into. I gave you a little bit of preview that Jesus prayed. He says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. That means in between, before the heavens and earth could be created, we see the Son coming. But the Son is not yet there in the absolute eternity. He's not there. There is no time. There is no time at all. Now, you and I have got time. No matter how much we try to control, it's 8:45. In an hour's time, it'll be 9:45. 10:45. 11:45. 12:45. We're controlled by the orbit of the sun. Okay, and you can't tell me, look, Brother Louis, there's no, you know, I'm in eternity. There's no time, so I'm going to just sit here. Yeah, tomorrow your boss is going to fire you if you don't go to work, because you're controlled by time. Monday, you're supposed to go to work. Okay? There's no time. There's no atoms. There's no even the earth or even planets. There's nothing there. But where were they? All in his thinking. All in his mind. I told you, he saw the beginning and he saw the end. And that's how you must also be in your life. You must see the end of yourself. Say, but brother, what do you mean? Sometimes the enemy can get you low and point to you about your faults and your past and the mistakes you made. No, when you get discouraged, you look at the end. Okay? The wife has made herself ready. You stand before him as though you have never sinned. I am the righteousness of God. You're seeing the end. Because the enemy wants to always point to you the mistakes you make. God can't see your mistakes. He only sees the blood. But what about the mistakes I make? Okay, then you pay for it whilst you're on this earth. But it does not change you as a son of God. It doesn't change you as a daughter of God. The choices, the decisions you make here will result in consequences that you will face. All right. So now, he says the first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to his people. Now, I want you to understand that if ever there is a book that I want to recommend to every one of you that you must read cover to cover and go back to, I think there's an audio as well on it. Okay, it's called Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, preached on the 28th of July, 1963. If you can study that as we're doing the series, you don't need to study any other message of Brother Branham. What do you mean? Well, if you study the way I'm going to teach it to you, the Bible will open up, the messages will open up. Oh my word! It's all here. I never know it's here. Because that book is so layered with so much of gems. I can stay on that book for 20 years. And I think Pastor Tony will do that maybe in 5 years, but his 5 years for me will be 50 years, because that's how deep the Lord takes him at times. That book there, make it your personal study. As we're studying it, go back and you see how it'll become such a revelation to you that you realize, oh my word, it's so beautiful to be a believer. So the first thing that was that God wanted to reveal himself to his people. Now remember I told you he was not yet God. But this being wants to reveal himself to the people. He couldn't do it as a great Jehovah God who covered all space, time and eternity. So now he could not do that as a being. Okay? He could not do that out there because there's nobody there. He wants to reveal himself. Now you say, but I don't understand. Why do you get married? Why do you get married? Oh, but Brother Louis, I get married because God said it's not good for a man to be alone. That's why I go, oh. And I ask you again 15 years later, he says, oh, are you still alone, brother? I want to be alone now. After 15 years. You know, like I was telling my wife the other day, she was telling me something, and I said to her, no matter what you do, I know you for over 44 years, you're stuck with me, so just, shh. Okay. So the thing of it all is that the wife is a revelation of the husband. The wife is a revelation of the husband. You say, I don't understand you. When you look at the wife, she reveals to you who her husband really is. Now, did you know that we marry people of different opposite qualities? Did you know that? If you are an organized man, you will find out you have problems with your wife because she's a little bit, I wouldn't say disorganized. Okay? You'll notice that if she talks too much, he doesn't talk too much. Very rare you find a husband and wife talking together, both of those same qualities. Okay? You find that if he wants to read books, she wants to do something else. You see, but why? Because that's how God designed it. It's a negative and a positive coming together to bring the shine. And here's another thing. And if you did not know, you come from two different families. But did you know after a period of time, both of you begin to start look like each other? Did you know that? Go and check it out. Go and look at your old, go look at your younger photographs. Look at your younger photographs, your husband and wife. And look at them in time, how they develop. They start looking like each other. I'm talking physically, yes. Okay, physically. You'll watch even how they walk. How they walk. They're almost the same. You say, but why? Because it has to type, the natural has to type the spiritual. Okay? I can't explain to you some things, but you can go and check it out. So God now, he wants to reveal himself, but he can't reveal himself on his own. Remember I said to you, he's a being. He's going to bring out things that's going to be the revelation of himself. Like I said to your husband and wife, she's a revelation of the husband. You know, I told you before, if you really want to know if a man loves his wife, just check how he treats her. If you really want to know if a pastor really has the heart for his people, watch how he takes care of the congregation. What he provides for them, how he preaches the word. You'll know exactly. All right. So he could not do this. I hit my finger on the phone and I was dialing a brother in overseas. He couldn't do this as Jehovah God who covered space, time and eternity. Because if he wants to show love, he can't show love when there's nobody there. He can't show love when there's no creation. But he's got all this in his thinking and now he wants to... He says he couldn't do this as Jehovah God who covered all space. Okay? Who covered all space. And eternity, he couldn't do it. He is too great to ever be revealed to his people because it would be too mysterious. You see that quote there? He is too great to ever be revealed to his people because it would be too mysterious. You cannot have a face-to-face conversation with this being. That is why when you say that you love God and you want to serve God, you can only serve God by the people that he sends to represent him. If you receive, Jesus said, if you receive the one that I sent, you receive me, and you receive me, you receive the sender of me. Why? Because he's too mysterious. And that's the problem we have today when people say they want to serve God, they don't know, what do you mean by serving God? It means that when you begin to receive the one that God sends, and you go by the teachings that they give to you, that you're actually serving God. He couldn't do it as Jehovah, who covered all space, time, and eternity. So now the question about is, where is this? Who covered all space, time, and eternity? Who covered space, all space, time, and eternity? This was definitely someone who's got no beginning. And this is someone who has no end. Alright? Now, so this is absolute eternity. Then you have what you call the seventh. The seventh is also heaven. This is not heaven, by the way. This is not heaven. We just call it the eighth. We call it a dimension because of the being that is there. But there's no atoms, okay? There's no atoms. There's no space. There's no time. You and I can't work that out. So, heaven is called eternity. Heaven is called eternity. Okay? You see, but why eternity? You will find out that there are... You remember when Paul was preaching, he says, I was caught up in the third heaven? You will find that there are more than one world as we're going on. But why are we calling absolute eternity? To distinguish from this part, which is the seventh dimension. The seventh dimension. Alright? So he couldn't do it as great Jehovah God who covered all space, time and eternity. Alright? So let's go to the message adoption. He said, let me draw you a little illustration here. He said, let me draw a little illustration. He says, when God called his name, he says, Lord God, it is in the word of Ella, Ella, Elohim, which means self-existing. Now, we're going to learn that the word Ella, El Shaddai, and so forth, eventually are titles. Okay? But the Hebrew, which says self-existing, Brother Brown says, is the closest description about him, because the Greek says God is an object of worship. He says we won't use the Greek, but we use self-existing. All right. He says there was nothing else existed but him. Very important. Because this is where lots of message people, even the Trinity, don't understand. That there was nothing existing, there was no air, no light, no stars, no world, there was nothing. It was, although he says God, but he actually it's a self-existing, the self-existing being, okay, he says Elohim. So that's all that existed there. He says now we're going to do a diagram. Now, so I put a chart, I said I don't have the time to draw, I'm going to try and bring down what he says. Now, so this is absolute eternity. This is absolute eternity. Alright? So Elohim is there. That means the self-existing one. Now he wants to reveal himself, but he's got to do that when there is time. He has to bring in time. Now you say, but why time? Because the dimension that he is in is a very fast dimension. He's going to slow it down to time. Okay, to time. Have you noticed, those of you that have got children, you took them to the fun fair? I mean, I took my children to the fun fair. Okay, even though they can't remember. I remember we went to Cape Town, we went to the Cobra. They call it the Cobra. Okay, the ride that goes down and you feel the whole world. By the way, Brother Larry, it's very good for you to take the stress out. Ask Peggy to put you on it and you can scream when you're on the top. You can scream and nobody will hear you. Serious. Because it's good for you, brothers. If you are pent up and you fed up, sister, put him on the Cobra. Send him to Cape Town. When he goes to the top, let him scream. He'll come back. Oh, I feel so nice. Okay, so now, have you noticed when you're going into those rides, those very fast rides, right? You feel as though you can't see anything. Have you realized that you don't see anything? Have you noticed you take, even the Pastor Tony and I were trying to do that one day. You take an object. I don't have anything here. Okay, you take an object and I swing it. Okay, what happens to it ultimately? It picks up. Okay, and eventually I swing it and you can't see it. I remember one time one of the brothers that was telling me that he was working the NPC or something, and he said he's a mechanic, he's an engineer or something, and he says he saw this person, they wanted to fix something, so he was about to go into the tube and they pulled him back. I said, what is wrong with you? Can't you see the fan is on? Have you noticed when a fan turns at a very high speed, it is as if there's no fan there. Okay? And they put a warning, it says, you make sure you switch it off. Brother Isaac had an experience, I think, with that. He tried to catch something, nearly lose his fingers. All right. So now God cannot do it in that dimension. Okay? So what he's going to do, he's going to slow it down. And he's going to bring in an interval called time. That's the interval of time. And the interval of time, so everything that starts off the Alpha and the Omega, that means this is time. It is made up of series of infinite events. Infinite events. Now, on the board I try to draw this so we can switch between two slides. You'll find that these are infinite events. Millions and millions of it. And every one of it. Now those of you that know maths, and those of you know the graphs, okay, those of you know, if you do, the people that use this for exchanges and currencies, they have what you call candlesticks, okay, the candlesticks, they talk about the bear market, the bull market, and so forth. Let me see if I draw here. Like you'd find that one candle, like that. Okay, then you find, you know, when you look at exchanges, you see they tell you it's going this way, going this way. But it is made up of series of candlesticks. And one candle can be equal to maybe one day, or 1 hour, or a 4 hour, or a 5 year. Now, this is something that maybe so those of you don't understand, that if you're doing investments and so forth, they tell you, listen, it opened up here in January 2015, it closed here in January 2025, and this is what it is. So what they do, they say that's one candle, or they draw a graph. Now, that's an imitation of what God has been doing here. He made up a series of Alpha and Omega. The question is, who is Alpha and who is the Omega? Who is the Alpha? He's the Alpha and Omega. The Trinity sing it. And they're pointing it to Jesus, the Son, The message people say that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. No. Jesus was not even the absolute eternity. So how can he be the beginning of everything? How can he be the end of everything? How can he be the originator? How does he know that what was and what will be? He doesn't know. You'll understand it as we're going on. Are you with me? Why does computers misbehave like this? Give me a second, please. Okay, so I asked the question, who's the Alpha? Who's the Alpha? And who's the Omega? Who's the one that has no beginning and no end? And we are going to see it was the one, the self-existing one. He has got no beginning, he's got no end. He's got no start, he's got no finish. So, what you're going to do, you are going to call him what? Elohim. You're going to call him Elohim. Alright? Now, in that eighth dimension, which we call absolute eternity, that's where he is, Melchizedek. Melchizedek, when you read, who is this Melchizedek? He says, no father, no mother, no beginning, no ending. Now remember that he is Melchizedek. I'm not talking about the role of the priesthood that he's going to play. We are talking about who is the one who's got no father, no mother, no beginning, no end. Who is that one? And that is why Brother Branham comes and he preaches, who is this Melchizedek now? Who is this Jesus now? Who is this Jesus called Christ? Why do you think he has such titles? Because this, brothers and sisters, is not the Son of God. This is not the Son of God. You see, absolute eternity is like a circle. It's got no beginning. You know these things. It's got no end. I'm going very fast. Reality only existed in the mind of Elohim. You know, nobody has ever seen an original painting. There is no original painting in the world. He says, no, but Michelangelo's, Leonardo da Vinci, Van Gogh. No. Their originals are in their mind. What they are doing is reproducing their thinking. So reality only exists in the mind of God, or in the mind of Elohim. And so what does God do? He introduces what you call time, which is an interval of eternity. And during that interval of eternity is a million billion years. And he wants to reveal himself during that period of time. Because nobody can understand him as Elohim. And he has this desire to provide, to become a father. But he can't do that in eternity. So what he's going to do? He's going to have infinite forevers. You know, people say, forever and ever and ever. Do you love me? Oh, I love you forever and ever. Like I think I was asking one of my children or my grandchildren, I think, so you really love me? Oh, I love you a million times, 1,200. No, I try to work that thing out, and that sounds like infinite to me. Because they can't understand. They were trying to say, look, I really love you. Okay, so remember this, is that. When you're speaking about the seventh dimension, right, it's an interval of eternity, forever as a period of time, as beginnings and ends. Remember that it has a beginning. When we say it's forever, it means it has a start and a finish. But forever and ever and ever and ever means there are infinite periods of time. But it is so big. If I had to fill this entire room with zeros and say every zero is a year, you and I will never be able to even count it. So So eternity is made up of infinite forevers. Everything that was not self-existing has a beginning. Now, I'm going to say this. I know Brother Larry, you're opening this up to everybody, so I'm going to say this for the recording. For those of you that are listening to me on this recording, don't run ahead of me, right? Because it is obviously you are thinking about things about Jesus and so forth. But if you are patient enough, as I build the series, you're going to realize that Jesus, the Son of God, has a beginning and He has an end. But He never was with Melchizedek in the mind of God. He was never with Melchizedek at that point. When Elohim was alone, my Bible, my message tells me that there was nobody with Him. Now let's go this now. In God's provided place of worship, I'm just going to hit the highlights. I'm not going to read the quotes because I've got too much to go through. God has got many titles. Many a times we think the Rose of Sharon, Jehovah Jireh, and so forth are the names of God. But He has many titles. Now I want you to follow me carefully. All those titles that He has, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon, Morning Star, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, all those things are titles. As many titles. But He only has and will have one name. God's name is Jesus Christ. I left it there. I actually wanted to bring it later on. But just to tell you, fast forwarding, is that He only has one human name. Everything else is a title. Alright? It's a title. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, He says, He's just got one human name. God had one name, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So, remember I said to you that those titles of Jehovah Jireh, now I don't have the time. Those are redemptive names. Now remember that He is going to fulfill those titles. Remember when Abraham was about to kill his son, he says the Lord had provided a lamb. He is Jehovah Jireh. So that's when that title got fulfilled. Right? And came to pass when God sent forth His son to die upon the cross, He becomes Jehovah Jireh. But all those titles that was given to this great being was not His name. Very important for you to remember. Okay? Because later on we're going to find under the seven thunders, the seventh seal, we're going to find He only has one human name. So, God, before He was God, He had many characteristics. One, and He still has, is all powerful. Okay? Is all powerful. Oh my goodness, this last one at the bottom here is called all knowing, omniscient. I don't know why my slide came out that way. He's got attributes and traits. That means creator, healer, savior, redeemer, sanctifier. He's a consuming fire. All these traits and characters. He could not do it as a being, He could not do it in the eighth dimension. It was with Him. Alright? He's a deliverer, He's a sunlight, He's a guide, He's a righteous, He's a judge, He's a true and faithful witness. All these things, these traits and qualities and characteristics, he could not do that. So the last one is a revealer of the secrets of His heart. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? He had many titles of deity. These are the many titles of deity. Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. Okay, by the way, this particular slide was done by Brother Fritz. I just pulled it out. Elohim. That is how you get Elah, and you find that Allah comes up. Allah means God. Okay? Allah means God. Jehovah Shalom, Shama, Rapha, Manasseh. All those are titles that He is going to fulfill when He steps into time. Did you ever know that the name of Jehovah is not correct? I thought Jehovah was His name. Brother, I say, he says, did you know the name of Jehovah is not correct? He says, the translators could not never translate it. It's spelled J-V-H-U. It isn't Jehovah. It isn't Jehovah. They couldn't touch it. They don't know what it is called, but they called it Jehovah. But it wasn't his name. It wasn't his name. So when people say Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new, they need to understand what is it. Okay? Because remember that in the New Testament, you don't find they calling him Jehovah. It says to the God and Father. They don't call him Jehovah in the New Testament. That is why you find that the mystery of who God is at the very beginning, if you study your Bible, it's very clear there's one God. It's very clear. Because right through you hear about Jehovah, the Lord. You don't hear about the three beings. You don't hear about second person of the Trinity. You don't hear about the Son of God anywhere, because it's all about God. But when you open the New Testament, now you're getting Father, and then now you're getting Son. So the church world does not know Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to Mary. They don't know Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Okay, never mind. We'll just make it three people. That's how you go Trinity. You go back to the Nicaea Council, which I don't have the time, and you'll find this. Okay, we just can't fathom this thing out. We'll just break it down as three people. Then there was another group of people who said, look, we just can't understand this thing. So what we will do, we'll make it one and the same being. The Father became the Son, and the Son became the Holy Spirit. That's a Unitarian or a oneness concept. Okay? So Jehovah was not his name. And that is why you find that when Abraham met him in Genesis 18 and 1, the Lord appeared unto him. If you look at the word capital letter, the Lord is Elohim, the Lord, that's Jehovah. The Lord said, appeared unto him. The Lord appeared unto him. Showing to you, brothers and sisters, he is the only absolute. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not or no name of God. No, God has no name, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says the family in heaven is named Jesus. And the family in earth is named Jesus. God has only one name, human name. He was called Jehovah, Jireh, Rapha. That was titles of his deity. But he has one name, Jesus. So everything in heaven is Jesus. It's like a brand. Jesus. The Father is Jesus. The Son is Jesus. Heaven is Jesus. Everything in heaven is called Jesus. The family in heaven is named Jesus. Now, this, brothers and sisters, is very important, because that's why Paul says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So I'm showing to you that his deity titles, or the titles of his deity, he could not express him whilst he was in absolute eternity, where there was no time, no space. Now he has to now lower himself so that he can reveal who he is. There's some slides I have to skip because I don't. Let me skip this because this is too small for you to read, but I've already covered it. Okay, so it's a self-existing being. It's an object of not a Greek word, which means object of worship. The Hebrew self-existing being. Not a definition of his substance, but as unseen beyond our senses. I already spoke about that. It's a life form, design, fulfillment, and purpose. So that's what he wants to do. Now the prophet of God begins to say, is there's a fountain. Okay? And in this fountain there are different roles, characteristics, traits, and abilities that he wants to bring out. Alright, that he wants to bring out. So let's try and put this together now in a drawing. Alright, so this is Elohim. This is Melchizedek. This is the absolute eternity. And in absolute eternity, he has a mind. In his mind, he's got thoughts. He's got plans. Okay? So that's his mind. That's with him. Now remember, you have a mind, but the mind is not you. But the mind is with you. You have thoughts. You are not your thoughts, but your thoughts are with you. Let that soak a little bit so that you begin to understand a few things. So this being, you say, but I thought he's a being. How does he have a mind? You see, his mind, your mind, his sight, your sight, his hearing, your hearing, his knowledge, your knowledge, can't be compared. Can't be compared. Because if I could say this, I need eyes to see you. He does not need eyes to see you. I need ears to hear you. He doesn't need ears to hear you. You and I have organs to keep our intelligence, our conscious and subconscious. He doesn't, but he's got a mind. How do you explain it? I can't tell you some things. That is why on that side, it will be an ever unfolding of this great God in ceaseless eternity. So, you see here, this is the mind of God, and I put a little, this little block here, which is all his plans. All his plans. And so, his plans are about, I put a column here, this orange one here, is about before the foundation. So before the foundation, before the world could ever come into existence, there are a few things that he had. Because there will be lots of things that will come after the foundation. Now remember when I said foundation, I mean before he starts creation. Before he starts creation. Let me give you some examples. So before the foundation of anything that could ever happen, the lamb was slain in the mind of God. You see, this is the mind of God. Okay? Maybe I should try and see if I can put this, will this work as well? So I don't have to. Yeah. The lamb was slain. Where was it slain? In the mind of God. Are you with me? So before the foundation of the world, he chose you. So why do you get stressed? Before the foundation of the world, he chose the elected. Before the foundation of the world, he predestinated events. Why do you get worked up about what's going on in your life? Yes, you can't make choices about your eternity or your eternal destination. It's up to God. I believe I'm one of them. Brother Louis, will you ever get there? I will get there by his grace. You live as though you're one of them. Don't worry about anything else. So before the foundation of the world, he had something else in his mind. What? I wonder what was in his mind before he could bring anything. What is it? Oh, he planned out he needed Lucifer. He planned out the serpent, the role of the serpent. He planned out the human species. He planned out about Cain. He planned out about creation. Every organ on this earth, every plant, he planned out botany life. Before the foundation, before he could even get to start to work, he planned out, this is how the leaf is going to be. And this one here is going to take my breath, convert it into oxygen, so you receive oxygen. I'm breathing out carbon dioxide. That is why plants are good. If you're stressed, you're anxious, and Indians love to chop the trees in their houses. I ask people, why do you take down trees? Oh, we fight for snakes. Start putting trees up around your house. Put plants in your house and see how calm you'll become. Because it has a calming. God said, listen, I'm going to allow these plants to grow so that it'll draw in carbon dioxide and it'll release oxygen. Okay, some of you say, but you don't understand. I've got sinuses. Okay, we'll pray for you. So he in his mind, before the foundation, the lamb was slain. Now, do you think he's just stopped there? No. So, if this was his plans, he says he's going to have a lamb. Oh, I'm in the wrong place, but I'm writing here. Okay. He's going to bring a lamb. And the role of the lamb is going to be for redemption. Okay? So when Jesus comes, Jesus has no choice to fulfill the role of a lamb. No choice. Because it was done before the world even began. Let's go on to our slides. Okay? So, he plans on Lucifer. So Lucifer did not even have a choice in the entire thing. He didn't have a choice. He was designed as a tool. God made him, gave him stewardship. Did you know that Lucifer and Michael were co-equal? They were governing a certain part of God's kingdom. All right, we'll go into that. He had no choice of the role he's going to play. Cain had no other choice of what he's going to play. You and I have no choice. That is why, be good to people. If you don't make it on the rapture, be nice to the elect of God, because at least you'll have eternal life because the way you treat them. Respect the office bearer. Respect the ministry. Do things for them. Because when you do things for them, there's reward. Okay. So now there is a part of his mind. Oh, the color looks... This is a yellow. I tried to put yellow there. There's a part of his mind that we don't know yet. We will know some of the things that he had before the world. We are going to know about the plans he has for Lucifer, the serpent, the human species, the plants, the botany life, the planets and so forth. It goes on and on. I don't have enough space. But there'll be a part that we will not know. There's a part of his mind that we're not going to know. He said, but why? Okay, pull up this quote, brethren, that he will reveal himself through the marred body through ceaseless eternity. Once you pull that up, okay? I'll keep talking. So the part of his mind there'll be a part of his mind that will be a mystery. That is why when they ask the Son of God, when will the end be? He said, what is it to you? He says, the time and the season of when the end of the world will be, I don't even know, because the Father did not tell me and the Father did not tell the angels. He said, but why would God do that? You know, one of the important things about life, if you keep yourself a mystery, people get interested in you. God dwells in that perfect marred body completely forever, right, and through eternity. So this is what's going to happen. Is there another one that he'll reveal himself through a marred body? I'm not really sure. So God's going to use this marred body. So remember, this marred body is a glorified body. Just a little bit ahead of our studies. you're going to have a glorified body as well. Jesus, the Son of God, is going to get a glorified body. But even though he's got a glorified body on that side, right? And sometimes we say, I want to be like Jesus. You can't be like him and have his body, because his body is going to be a memorial that's going to have scars that will never heal. So that body will always be marred even on that side. When we go on that side, the prophet of God says he's going to reveal himself through this marred body, because there are parts of his mind that you and I don't know about. So the question you're going to ask me, so will we see the being? No. Everything is going to be via the marred body. Everything is going to be via that marred body. So even in ceaseless eternity, you're going to come for the meetings on that side, and you're going to be taught. If I do my job well, I can't replace Pastor Tony. But Pastor Tony will be compared with every apostle. I will be compared with every pastor of how I fared. You're a deacon, you're an elder, you will be compared to every elder. It's a merit system out there. Okay? And so Pastor Tony, apostles will be measured. And so we'll be going for gatherings. What gathering? So that he can reveal to us parts of his mind there. You see, if you really want to keep your life interesting, always keep a mystery about you. Sisters, I teach you this. Keep a mystery of your marriage so that your husband can be interested in you. Because men get bored quickly. After they catch the fish, they skin the fish. He's laughing, Trevor. That's true. They skin the fish. That's why, sisters, if you want to keep your marriage, become unique in your marriage. Keep your husband interested on you. Dress for him. Don't dress for everybody else. If he says to you, I love you with your hair this way, and somebody says, no, but I don't like you with the hair like that. You dress for your husband. So why is God keeping a mystery of himself? Because in that sense, he wants to keep us interested in him. We are not going to know everything about God on this side. So we're going to have meetings out there. Oh, by the way, there won't be any streaming on that side. If you miss the services, you're outside the city. You can only come into the city only on full moon. And your visitation is limited. Because you have, you know, when you're traveling, your visa is only for a certain period. You can stay for 14 days, 21 days, 30 days, 6 months, or whatever it is. So those outside the city, they can't say, Brother Louis, just check if Brother Irwin can stream the services. Doesn't work there. So unfortunately, Brother Irwin will be without a job there. But they'll have new jobs on that side. Okay? Attending to services. Why? Because it's a part of his mind that I don't know. He's going to tell us more about it. We're going to hear through the fivefold on that side, and they're going to teach us more, and you're going to go and teach these people outside the city. Are you with me? All right. So now he is the beginning of creation. What's this quote? Very, 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 very difficult to understand the language, but he's going to bring you a point now. He says he can't see nothing, there's no atoms and so forth, nothing, but yet Elohim was there. Okay? So the question is, how was he the beginning of creation if he's eternal? Prophet says it's the beginning of creation. How was he the beginning of creation? Okay. He says, anything that has a beginning has an end. Anything that has a beginning is a creation. But God was not created. He was always Elohim. There was no place he was created. And the only way that you could ever have eternal life is to be part of that creation. He says, oh, if you could see that. All right. So remember this, is that the question is, so the being is eternal. Is he eternal because of his substance? Remember, then nobody gave birth to him. Nobody brought him to this world. That is why he is eternal. So eternity is only because he exists with certain traits. Certain traits. And so, I want you to understand something. The way he began to, now he wants to lower himself, and the prophet of God says he wants to condescend himself. So if he's coming from this place called absolute eternity, he wants to lower himself. So this is time. This here is time. He's going to come here from a place where there is no there's no form. He's just like an energy. But before he could do that, he's going to place in what we call fields. Fields. Alright? So there's no fields up here in eternity. He's going to place fields over here. This is the seventh dimension. The seventh dimension. So this being now, he wants to reveal himself, so he's going to step into what we call time. He's going to step into what we call time. So he's going to gather his thoughts. He's going to gather all his thoughts that I showed to you, that everything that you are seeing in this world is going to gather those thoughts now, and he's going to lower himself from that dimension, which is absolute eternity. He wants to come down into eternity. Now remember this, he cannot come from absolute eternity to the first dimension without lowering himself. Now you say, but why? This is not a good example, but for those of you that have been in a plane, they'll tell you, if the atmospheric pressure in the cabin has changed, please know that oxygen mask will be lowered. Please put those oxygen masks, pull the oxygen mask, put it to yourself and breathe gently. Because why do they say that? Because there are fields there in a certain height. Your body can't breathe. Can't breathe. Okay, so what this great being was doing, he was laying down fields. Okay, and I think around 2012, I think, they came to know about the Higgs field. Okay, the Higgs field. They discovered that there are fields. Now you say, but why is he creating fields? Because what this field does, it gives what you call mass rate. Because if I design a pen and if I've got no fields, what will happen is that this pen will fly all over. It can't stand. It will not stay on the ground or on this table. It will fly all over. So these fields basically actually holds these atoms, this matter, this particles in place. You see, but explain it to me. Now, you find that I don't have another tumbler. Okay. But imagine that this is an empty glass. Okay. And I have a pin. I drop the pin into the glass. The pin will hit the bottom of the glass. Are you with me? But let's say I fill the glass with honey. I drop the pin. What happens to the pin? Because the moment it hits where the honey is, it kind of stays. That's what the Higgs field does. The Higgs field, God, now you say, but why is he doing this? Can you imagine the sun is moving and the moon is coming, and then hey, look at Mars. Have you seen Jupiter passing the church? No. He sets up fields so that when he brings creation, they will stay in the positions. Okay? They will stay in the positions. And I think Brother Norman did a few things, so you can go back to the recordings when you speak here about the fields and so forth. So what he does now, in that he's now stepping down from absolute eternity, he's now coming to the eighth. And when he comes down, when he's coming down to the seventh, this is the seventh, it's the start, which is called the beginning, Alpha. It is the Alpha, okay? And he's planning all the series of events of what he's going to do. And how he's going to gather his thoughts. He's going to gather his thoughts. And he says, well, I can't do this. As an invisible being. And so, what happens? An atom splits. Okay? An atom splits. Now you say, but what atom? This is a spiritual atom. We are not yet in time. We are just here. Just here. He comes down into the seventh dimension. He splits an atom. And when he splits an atom, remember, he speaks. Now, when he speaks, it's not the language that you and I are speaking. Because in order for me to speak and you to hear, there must be what we call waves. Now, if you did not know, your eardrum, the auditory canal, it's got a membrane there. And so when I'm talking, the vibration, my speech creates what you call a vibration. That vibration will continue and hit your ear passage. Your drum and your anvil will vibrate, and your auditory senses will pick up. Oh, this is what he's saying. You can hear me. That being did not need that on that side. When he brought forth this alpha, or this atom, the spiritual atom that split, it brought forth a body of light. So this body of light that he began to bring out here now, I want you to follow me. And this is very important, Brother Larry. Very important. Is that if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand a lot of things. The body that he's going to bring out, this body, he's going to call it pillar of fire. This is not the being. This is not the being. Okay? So, remember this, is that whilst he was here, he had certain nature in him, certain traits, certain qualities, certain characteristics. Okay, let me see if I can. Just 1 second. I need to. Let me bring this quote up. Could you imagine before if there was an earth, before there was a light, before there was a star, there's a great fountain going forth. So now he is describing this. He's describing in that eighth dimension there are fountains. Okay? Now, the Prophet of God uses many, many terminologies. He uses rays. This is like a rainbow. Okay? So there's like rays, rainbow, different colors. He uses the word fountains. Okay? He uses the word fountains and so forth. So the quote says, there's a great fountain going forth of spirit. Out of this fountain came pure love, because there was nothing for it to come forth but love. So he's trying to show to you and I that on the absolute eternity, there are traits and qualities that this being has, like love, gentleness, meekness, kindness, love, all those things, virtue, patience. All these things he wants to express. He wants to be a healer. He wants to be a savior. He wants to be a father. He wants to be a creator. All these things, he has it in him. Okay? And there's another quote. It says, when these great lights went out, great rays of spirit. So, when you're hearing about, he speaks of rays of spirit. Okay? rays of spirit, of love, peace. There was no suffering. It says that was Jehovah God. It says the Logos that went out of God is hard to explain, but it was a part of God. So in that absolute eternity, he's bringing out a picture to you. Not there were rays and fountains and everything. There was nothing there. He's trying to bring a picture that within this being, it's like a fountain. It's like rays of light. It's like rays of peace. It's a rays of love and so forth. Where there's no suffering. He says, but this being wants to bring it down. Okay? He wants to bring it down, but he can only do it. He can only do it, not in absolute eternity, but he can only do it by bringing down his nature. So what is going to happen? Whatever this nature is, whatever this nature is, he's going to bring it down. That nature. All right. Now, what is important for us to also know, you can go home and read this thing alone. He will never be alone. Okay? He will never be alone. He'll never do that again because his thoughts are being made manifest. That means the absolute eternity will eventually be done away with, where he'll never be alone. But also remember, there will be a part of his mind that will that you and I don't know that is going to unfold. Okay? Not in the period of Alpha and Omega. Not in this period. Not in this period here. In this period, whatever you and I need to know is going to be revealed. You see, but how will he know this? I don't want to get ahead of my time because you might just lose me. Okay. So, we put a note here. The DNA qualities, race, traits, forms into a spirit and nature. Alright. So, over here, I'm sorry, you're switching over all the time, brethren. So these are the nature, okay? These are all traits, okay? All of this here was in his mind. So if this is the mind, this is the mind of that being in absolute eternity. There's the nature, there's DNA, sequences. When you say DNA sequences, remember that in absolute eternity, there were no seeds. There was nothing. It was just him and his thoughts. And in his thoughts, he's like a man. I'd like to have children. Now, that's in his mind. I'm using a natural example so you can understand. That's in a young man's mind. I want to have children. Okay. But those are thoughts. But then as he begins to, as the brother begins to grow and so forth, his body begins to develop and so forth. Now he has seeds in him. I've got children, you understand the language. But now for him to have seeds, to have children, his seed must line up with a female seed. So that they can have children. God does not go against nature. So, in his thinking, there was seeds which is made up of male DNA and female DNA. In his thinking. He's going to bring it down. So as he lowers himself, the nature of God comes down. And what does he do? He now, you find there is a spirit, the spirit. The spirit now, he calls it the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit actually comes into existence in the seventh dimension. You might say, but why does he call it the Holy Spirit? He's going to differentiate between every other spirit. So what do you think the being does? The being now comes and when he splits the atom, he now has what we call a body of light. I'll show you a slide just now, if that is so confusing. All right. So the mind of God gathers up his thoughts to be expressed in time. So his thoughts are going to be expressed like
I thought of something, so I picked up an instrument. I thought of it, I picked it up. So when I thought of it and I said I'm going to pick up this, it is a word. Okay? So thoughts becomes word. And when you see it, it becomes an expression or manifestation. Okay? So we'll break this down slowly as we're going on. So another word for us to understand, we hear the word logos. So what is logos? Logos is a thought. Excuse my spelling. It's a concept. That's logos. It's a thought or concept. This here brings a lot of trouble in the message community because they don't understand this. Let's repeat. The being was alone. All that was with him was his nature. His thoughts was with him. He had a plan that he's going to bring in creation and create. So for him to have creation, there have to be seeds, but there's no seeds here. There's nothing here. He's going to have seeds in this dimension here, which is the seventh dimension. So in order to start, he lowers his nature, right? That's the spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit. And in this, when an atom splits, the pillar of fire body is formed. So this pillar of fire body was actually a thought of God. He says, I'm going to have a body of light. So if that's a thought of God, so won't that also be a logos? Okay, so this word here, we're going to do more work on it. This is also called a body. This is also called a theophanic body. This is called a theophany. You'll find later that Brother Branham clarifies, because this is theo means God, which means God's body. So that is why when we use the word theophany, later on we realize that we should only bring it down to only to God, because our bodies will be a word body. Theophany is more pertaining to God. The prophet of God later begins to start using word body. Okay? So remember that. So he brings his nature down and he wants to express himself as a creator. So what does he do? He splits, an atom goes out to display that he is a creator. An atom goes out to show that he is a creator. And he wanted to show himself as being all-powerful, omnipotent. And there's nobody before him. He wants to show this. He said, why would God want to do this? It's for his own pleasure. Everything is for the pleasure of God. That is why I say, everything that you have on this earth is designed for God's glory. Your marriage is for the glory of God. Your possessions is for the glory of God. Your business is for the glory of God. My ministry behind the pulpit is for the glory of God. Your talents and gifts for playing music is for the glory of God. Not for yourself. Okay? So, logos is the thoughts and concepts and expression. Let me use this color here. Is actually an expression of God's plans. It's actually an expression of God's plans. Remember this. He was in the eighth. He had plans. I'm repeating. So if he had plans, where was it? It was in his mind. It was in his mind. But there was no atoms, no nothing. He's now going to bring... He wants to make himself known, and he's only going to make himself known in the seventh dimension. All right. Let's go on. So he speaks, an atom goes out, that body of light comes out, all right, and a theophany forms.
All right. Now remember, when there's a nature here, the Holy Spirit, and there's a body, this is a spiritual man. So God becomes the first man, but this man has got no soul. This man has got no soul. He's got no soul. You say, but what do you mean? Because the prophet of God, you're going to read, God becomes the first creation. He becomes the first creation. But him being a man, he's got a body, he's got a nature, he's got a spirit, but he will not have a soul. Because anything that has a soul must be recorded in the book of life or the Lamb's book of life. And God doesn't have a soul. Because if you have a soul, that means you have a beginning. And God doesn't have a beginning. God doesn't have an end. I'm using the word God because you do know he was called Elohim. Because there's nobody there yet to call him God. He's got no children to call him Father. Are we okay? Alright. Alright, so let's go on. Let's look at this quote. Atoms revolve on back and break down till it comes to God. Light revolves back to God. Science is proving now, and they're basing it right back to God. They're finding out that it runs right back to God. Now, let's understand this quote. Science is saying, hey, listen, if we take everything back to creation, it'll come back to light. And if we take that light, it'll come back to the being. If we track it. Scientifically, they are now finding that out. Because why? It's because I told you, this being brings his nature down. There's nothing in the absolute eternity. His nature comes down, right, with all his traits, all the DNA, all his plans. Now he's lowering himself. Are you with me? Lowering himself now. And so he makes, what he does, he brings a spiritual atom, it creates a body of light, and that body of light now splits, and what does he do? That body of light now becomes a house or a theophany, okay, for this great being to live in. Okay, So before the atom could split, what God had to do was to create the atom. So he was creating an atom. You see, but what atom was this? You see, you can't track it on the periodic chart. Now, maybe the brothers can pull up what a periodic chart is. The periodic chart is that you can track everything that you have on this earth on that chart. The prophet God speaks of the 16 elements. That you are made up of 16 elements. And this 16 elements basically is what this world is made up from. But when you track that light, that body of light, you won't find any elements on that chart. Okay? I think it's in Moses. Is it Dr. Moses? Brother Brian says, he says Moses saw the bush burning. Okay? And he's wondering, how is it possible the trees are not burning? Maybe I should take it into the Egyptian laboratory and test and see how is it possible? Because light or fire, if it looked like fire, should destroy everything. No, because those elements did not come from this world here. You see, this world here, if I have to break this leaf will break. If I have to take a match and strike this leaf, it'll get damaged. But that body of light, when it came into the room of Brother Branham, that angel that came in, or when it went into the room when he was praying, it never burnt the building down. It's a unique form of light. You see, but I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Brother Louis. I can't understand it. Some of you use microwaves. Okay? When you look into the microwave, do you see fire? You don't see anything.
But after you select your microwave and you bring your food out, how? It's piping hot. That's technology. But that is something, it's called rays that goes through. Different rays. Alright? Now, God's light is not made up of all those things there. Because that thing can be measured. That body of light, when he split that atom, he created an atom, and what happened? You'd find that now this body of light now began to become his body. But his body now, as I said to you, his body of light that he's going to use could not in any way come into existence until he brought about the fields. Because if he did not bring the Higgs field, because remember there was no gravity there yet. There's no gravity. The gravity, I will show you later how he creates gravity. But he creates what you call the Higgs field. So what did God do? He created a field. He created a field in a spiritual, not a gravitational field, but he called it a Higgs field. Only recently they discovered the Higgs field. Alright? Only recently they discovered the Higgs field. Are you looking for the quote, or should I move on? Because if you didn't find it, it's fine with me. Because I've got a lot to cover. Now, we're going to... Now, remember now, he's bringing down this body of light. Okay. Now, some people come into the meeting. Since you see Moses, do you have a little curiosity? One time, turn aside. So why a bush didn't burn down? He caught it. So I hope the bush gets a fire tonight. And someone looks and see God is in his burning bush. Okay, so you can go and read all those quotes that the qualities of the burning bush and so forth. It is a unique fire, a unique light, if I could say, unique light body. And it's not made up of the 16 elements that you and I have. It doesn't age. Alright, let's go. Now, this body of light that he's beginning to form is like a triangle. It's like a triangle shape. And I'll show you the quote just now. A triangle shape. So, this being now is going to live in this body. Okay, this being is going to live in this body. Okay, let's bring it down now. So, can we switch over? So that's the triangle light. It's going to live in that body. So if I have to look at this, no, we'll just keep it there. If I have to look at this slide, this is the body. But this is not the being. This is not the being. Okay, this is not the being. See, but why it's not the being? Well, this is just, maybe I'll use this pointer here because I think some of the people on the, let's see here. So this here, this is a body of light that came without any 16 elements. It's like a triangle. Why is he doing that? Because now he is condescending himself. That's what he's saying. It says, Father, it says, just as I got sin, condescending, coming down. That was the highest form. So in the eighth dimension, it was the highest form. Now I want you to watch, as we're progressing now, it says the Spirit, the Agapo, the Zoe, the life of God himself, made into the form of a pillar of fire. So what was this now? This here becomes a form, all right, that is going to house all the traits. It's going to house the Spirit. It's going to house the Zoe in this form here. Are you with me? This form is going to hold a lot of things here. In the form of the pillar of fire. So, this, we are now in the seventh dimension. So we are in time now. So this is John 1:1. I'm not going to do so much of John 1:1 today. You see, but you did it. I did it, but I didn't do it. I only threw it in. Right? So what does he do?
You find that the Spirit comes down, and it's now called the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He wants to differentiate between other creation. It was not called Holy Spirit in the eighth dimension because there was no comparisons there. Now, he designs what you call the Holy Spirit. Right? And so, this becomes the Word body. And this has now got a nature in it. This has got a nature in it. This is the Word body. It's got no soul in it at all. But the nature of God is made up of what? All this here, the qualities. This is the triangle that we so often read. Right? The statue of a perfect man. So, He's going to take these qualities and He's going to bring in seeds. And these seeds are going to reflect Him. Let's try and get some. So, this is absolute eternity. And what does He do? Okay? This is absolute. What's the nature coming down? His nature steps down from absolute eternity. Let me pull this away from the slide so you don't get confused. All right? What does He do? That's His nature. And now, He has to give a spirit, because the spirit now is going to reflect the nature, whatever is the in there. And He calls it the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He wants to differentiate between everything else. And so next thing He does, He splits an atom, and now He has a body of light. Now the body of light, as I was saying to you, is like a triangle. It says the light is one complete circle of light in a triangle shape. That's why you see the pillar of fire that way. Like a triangle shape. Now everything has got a meaning. Why? Triangle, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three dispensations of the same God. The dispensation of the same God. Okay? He used also speaks of the Lamsa Bible and so forth. I need to try and... Alright. So, now, what's this now? He now, in this pillar of fire body, that's His mind. His mind is there as well. His mind with all His thoughts. Okay? Remember that. You can see that? That's his mind. All His thoughts. All His thoughts are there. All His plans. I said to you, plans are going to be expressed into words. His plans is actually thoughts. So His thoughts must be equal to logos. So what is logos? Logos are the plans expressed. The thoughts expressed. Alright, so... I know you're running ahead with logos, but don't run ahead too far. You might just get... Stay with me. Stay with me. Okay, so now, that's the mind. The mind of God. With all His plans. Remember I showed you that He has got in His mind, He has things for before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain. All right? Then He had about you. Paul says He had chosen you before the foundation of the world. He had in His mind what the lamb is going to symbolize, what the dove is going to symbolize, all before the foundation. So that mind now comes down. That thinking comes down. All right? And so, God becomes the first man. And this first man is without a soul. What is he doing? He's now clothed in this body here. He's now clothed in... This is absolute eternity. We are stepping down. We're stepping down into the seventh dimension. So the nature of God, in the Spirit of God, with the Logos in the mind of God, So let me explain that to you. You see, this is the mind of God. It's clothed with a heavenly body, which is called the pillar of fire. And now, this body has got the Spirit of God. So that Spirit of God is now called Holy Spirit. He calls it the Holy Spirit to differentiate between every other spirit that's going to come. So the pillar of fire becomes a clothing or a garment, which I showed you. Okay, like a garment. A garment dresses your body, covers your body. So that body is a clothing. So we also, it's called the theophany of God. So when you're looking carefully now, you know that this is the beginning. This is in the beginning. I told you Alpha and Omega. This is in the beginning. So that is why when you read John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. There's the Word here. Yeah? And the Word was with God. Like you have a mind. My mind is with me, but I'm not my mind. Okay? My mind is with me. Okay. So this is the form that Elohim lives in. That's the form that Elohim lives in. You'll find that this body of light, we'll go more into it later on. This got nothing to do. We have not yet come to the sun. We're still talking about this being. We want to learn more about this being. So now that he is in that body of light, he's now got all his plans. You see his plans there? It's now organized. So now I can say it is now in a word form. You see, you have your Bible. Your Bible is the Word of God. In the Bible, I have about creation. In the Bible, if it's the Word of God, but I also have about the devil. I also got about the serpent. I learn about adultery. I learn about death. I learn about sin. But it's all in methodical plan. So the plans of God now are in his mind. And in his mind now is what we want to look at. So that's his mind. The mind of God. You see what, you know, like you're sitting here now, you got plans. After service, I've got plans. But it's only plans. But when you put it into operation, it becomes, we use the word manifest. It becomes known. Oh, you went to eat. That was your plan. Yeah, I went to eat. All right? I told you before that a part of his mind is unknown. A part of his mind is unknown. All right. So now, we're looking at Logos. That's the Logos. That's the Logos of God. That means that's the thoughts of God. I told you, Logos is thoughts, concepts. So the thoughts are with him. It's all organized now. It's all planned. It's now in the seventh dimension, in a body of light. That's the Logos. That is why John 1:1. The people don't understand it. And that is why they speak about Jesus, the Son of God. We haven't yet come to the Son. So now, all the thoughts that he had in absolute eternity, which I've done away with in this slide, now comes into eternity. So this becomes eternity. Eternity is the seventh dimension. Eternity is the seventh dimension. Still, you and I can't work it out. That's why we differentiate between absolute eternity and eternity. Because it's countless millions, billions and trillions of years, if it could be. So I can say, in the beginning was Logos. Because this is the beginning. So in the beginning was the thoughts that was in the mind of God.
In the beginning was the concepts, the ideas waiting to be expressed in the mind of God. I showed to you in the beginning, they are different in the beginnings. John 1:1 is where we are. Then you have another beginning in Proverbs 8:24, when the Son says, I was set up in the beginning. Then you have Genesis 1:1, which is another beginning. You can go back to the first, I think in this series I did it, I touched on it a little bit. So, the Logos was with God. The being is here. In the beginning was the thought and expression, it was with God. Okay? All right. Are we good so far? So in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God. So if you look at that, you'll realize that you're having a better understanding of John 1:1. Now, I also remember that in the eighth dimension, which is on this chart here, there was no seeds. He just had it in his thinking. Nothing he expressed. But if he wants to express himself in creation, okay, he has to have what you call seeds, which is Zoe. This is not too good color. Zoe. So there was no Zoe there. He's going to bring Zoe in the seventh. There was no Zoe. He's going to bring Zoe in the seventh. So in the eighth dimension, there was no Zoe. And in the eighth dimension, there was no Zoe, and all the fountain of spirit was actually kept under one word, agapo, or agape. Everything will come down to agape. So when you took all the fountains, he says, listen, it is made up of agape, God's love. And I told you, God's love is not chemistry. So, in the eighth dimension, he is not Zoe. I told you, there's nothing created there. When he does become Zoe, that means the originator will be in the seventh dimension. In the seventh dimension. Remember, I said to you, his nature comes down, his spirit is there, and he now has a body. So this nature here is where we are looking at now. He's going to start bringing his creation into existence. You see, but why would he want to do that? Because he wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal all his thoughts. And how will he reveal all his thoughts? He will reveal all his thoughts by the seeds he's going to bring in. By the seeds he's going to bring in. Remember I started off, the invisible things can only be clearly understood by the things we see. So in order for you to understand God, he is going to bring in some things that you're going to understand. Oh my, now I understand. I understand what he's trying to get at. Alright? So when he becomes Zoe, he will have little seeds which will be equal to all his thoughts. I will bring that more clear to you. So Logos is the, so this is the seventh dimension. That's where we are, coming down, where he's going to bring his thoughts, and now it becomes eternity. And so Logos is dealing with the plan of God. All his plans. So, when you read, that's the Logos of God. You're reading a sentence, but you need to now place it. Now, when you place it, you realize, oh my, absolute eternity comes down, his nature is there. And when he has a nature, his spirit comes down, he creates a body. Now, there's a unique man that would know so, which is God himself, and all his plans are with him. And all his plans are equal to Logos. Logos is the thoughts of God. All the thoughts of God that he's going to express in the future is with this being. Okay? And what does he do? He takes all these plans and he puts it in the Word. So in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So what is the Word made up of? A thought. A thought. So I think something, when I speak, it becomes a word. Alright? And so, now we just, oh, in the beginning was the word. Oh my! So before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. Before there could be a thought, there had to be a mind.
Before there could be a mind, there had to be a being. Okay? Why did I go there? Alright? Had to be a being. So the being, brothers and sisters, now, is where now he's going to put all his plans in order. Okay? So, the Spirit of God is the energy or power or the omnipotence of God. So let me just skip all of this before I... Alright, so now let's look at this now. Brother Branham uses the pillar of fire, but this is a macro statement. Macro statement means that when Brother Branham speaks of one word, it has got so many meanings. Like when I use the word logos, the first thing people say, oh, that's logos, that's the Son of God. But now you're realizing that logos is also a macro statement, meaning it can have many micro meanings. Micro results. So, pillar of fire can mean the Spirit of God with the nature of God which has no soul. When he's talking about the pillar of fire, you'll find that he could be referring to the Spirit of God, or he could be referring to the nature of God. You'll hear Brother Branham eventually begins to combine all of them, because he's thinking, right, in macro. Like, if I say water, you're thinking water. But if I say oxygen plus H2O, oxygen plus H2O is actually water. Are you with me? So when you use the word pillar of fire, it could also refer to the mind of God or the logos of God. So this is where lots of times in the message community, people take a statement of Brother Branham and they run off with it. Because they don't know macro statements. You say, but I don't understand. Explain to me macro statement, Brother Louis. You say you're going to, I'm going to Kenobia shopping mall. But in Kenobia shopping mall, there's Woolworths, Truworths, Fushinis, there's Gorimas, there is KFC, Nando's, McDonald's. Okay? But I made a macro statement. I'm going to Kenobia more. That's what God did. That's what Brother Branham did. Pillar of fire. And when you think one statement, that's where you run into trouble. That's where you run into trouble. Because it can refer to many things. I'm going to Kenobia. Where are you going to? No, I'm going to Rocco Mama's. Oh. So at Rocco Mama, what are you going to do? I'm going to eat. What are you going to eat? I'm going to eat this. So macro, micro. Okay? So later on, I'll say pillar of fire. When I say, in the great pillar of fire, you say, in the pillar of fire was the thoughts of God, was the logos of God, was the plans of God. He was now in time. A body of light. So you begin to connect quickly. If I say the theophany of God, say, that's pillar of fire. Or the Spirit of God. Or the spiritual word body of God. Now all these statements are referring to pillar. When he says pillar of fire, can mean the theophany of God. It can mean the Spirit of God. It can mean the spiritual word body of God. But is it God? No. It only is the presence of God is near. It just means that when I see the pillar of fire, by the way, the pillar of fire will only appear to a major prophet or a son of God. You might say, but Brother so-and-so was pictured the pillar of fire. Yeah, it could have been a minor angel, because angels are light, but not the being. Because he will only reveal himself to a major prophet, word prophet, and if the Son of God is there. So, when you speak about the pillar of fire, you are saying the presence of God. Okay, you're saying the presence of God. I didn't say God, I said presence of God. Because the pillar of fire, there are quotes, it just says that God is near. He calls it the Shekinah glory. Many things. Many things. You say, but why did Brother Brand just make macro
statements. It's like me now. In a couple of weeks' time, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, pillar of fire. Because I went through the motions to tell you these small, small things that you need to start connecting. So what is he going to do now? Now that he's in this body of light, now that he's in his theophany, now that he's in a word body, right? And in that word body, that's where his mind is, that's where his plans are, that's where his nature is. And what you think he's going to do? He will create according to his nature that will have his qualities in seed form. You say, but what do you mean? In his mind now, he's got certain qualities that you want to express. And one of the qualities is that he's going to have a lamb. So the lamb now is going to express a quality of this invisible God. So when I look at the lamb now, I'm going to study this quality. Oh, but this is what it symbolizes. And this is how God is. Because as I said to you, a wife is a revelation of a husband. Christ is a revelation of God. And so God, in order to make himself clearly known, he says, no, study the lamb. You'll understand my quality. You'll understand what it is to have bridal attitude. He speaks about the dove. He says the dove has got no bitters, no gall. So in his thinking now, he thinks about a dove. What is he doing? Everything that is going to reflect his traits, qualities and characteristics, he's going to bring in seeds, natural seeds that are in his thinking, so that you can say, oh, so this is what it means to be like a dove. Because the dove does not eat anything. The dove only eats wheat. It has got no gallbladder. It has no bitterness. And that is why he speaks about a lamb. That's why he speaks about a dove. He left things like a lion in his mind. Why? To bring out his braveness, his quality. King of the jungle. He's the leader of the tribe. Lion of the tribe of Judah. All in his thinking. Now he's going to bring in little seeds. And he's not going to do that outside his nature. He's not going to do that outside nature. And for nature to be in complement, you must have male and female. So in his mind now, he's going to have seeds. Those DNA sequences are going to come down and form seeds, and they're going to become an expression to reveal God. And finally, you will end up with his son. Okay? Finally, he's going to end up his son. You see, because you must understand that all of life, okay, all of life is made up of energy. And so, what God is doing. Now remember, when I speak, there are words. But my words is actually giving you information. Are you with me? But step back a little bit. That information is becoming energy to your gene. That your gene is saying, oh my goodness, this thing is blowing my mind. It's so interesting, you know. Because your gene is enjoying the energy waves that's coming to it. The spiritual energy waves. Because this energy, this great being now, this great being wants to express himself. He wants to express himself. But I can't express myself as a being. I'm going to lower myself and I'm going to bring in creation that is going to teach my people who I really am. And the final lesson will be Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The final lesson. And remember, Christ is not only referring to Jesus, the Son of God. Moses was Christ. Okay? Christ. Okay, let's go on. So thoughts are a unique form of energy in a form of a wave. I want you to try it and take this in, because we will build on this as we're going on. Thoughts are a unique form of energy in a form of a wave. So whatever are the thoughts of God is now, you'd find he wants to bring his energy, but it's going to come in a wave form.
Okay? So thoughts are unique. And they can exist as a wave. Oh my goodness, this is... Okay. Should have changed the slide there. I can't do it now. I can't do it now because it's going to take a lot of time. But I will read it to you so you'll understand. And so I'm learning now what colors to use and what colors not to use. All right, so let's go to my slide. So this is can exist as a wave, in the form of a wave, or can exist as a particle. Thoughts can exist as a wave, or it can exist as a particle. We'll break this down at some stage for you. All right? So, the word is the carrier of the energy. I want to apologize my drawings I was doing, but I didn't expect it. The word is a carrier of this energy. Spirit, the thoughts of God, this energy that is coming. That is why it is so important for you to be in church. Streaming is only for people that are in bed. You need to be in church. Because there's an energy that goes out. The word is a carrier of this energy. What energy? The energy of this being. Okay? And so what happens now? God is going to slow this thing down. You say, what do you mean? He is going to slow the time period. That is why Alpha and Omega. Okay? He's going to slow it down and we're going to call it time. Why? So that it's going to start creating a condition. It's going to create a condition. And that condition is going to bring about a change. Like when you hear the word of God, suddenly you become convicted. You say, oh, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to repent. What is it? That thought went out and he slowed the thought down for you to catch it. So that your condition, your spiritual condition can start changing. The wave becomes a particle which is energy manifest. Okay? So what is he going to do now? He is going to create from the eighth dimension. He's coming down. His nature is there. The spirit is there. There's a body of light which is called a theophany. It's called the word body of God now. What is he going to do? He's now going to set in motion is creation. Okay? I'm going to skip all this here. But that's the slide. I just brought it out again. I'm going to go back to all the things. All right. So now, let's go. I told you about his thoughts. So what was his thoughts? He had the thought about his firstborn. The firstborn is about his son. About his birth, about his death, about his role he's going to play. What are some of his other thoughts? He had thoughts about his angels. They're going to be good angels. They're going to be fallen angels. You're going to be Lucifer. You're going to have angels going to be before the throne. You're going to have angels that are in a position to come into the presence of God. There'll be angels that will control the weather. There'll be angels that will control countries. There'll be angels that control cities. There'll be recording angels. You have a recording angel and you have a guardian angel. A minister has got an angel that will anoint him so that he can preach the word of God. The prophet of God has got an angel of the age. You have the mighty angel. All this was a plan that this being is now coming down into the seventh dimension. And he says, listen, I need to put all the roles that Lucifer is going to play. Okay, how he's going to be designed, his beauty and his wisdom, and how he will not have title deed, and how Michael will be the archangel, and how Michael's body I'm going to use. All this was in the plan. All this was in the plan. All this was in the mind of God. And now we see him coming from the eighth into the seventh. Okay, right at the eighth dimension, it was just thoughts. It was just thoughts. Now that he's in a body of light now, he's now putting those thoughts into operation. Are you with me? Step back a little bit. Go back to the recording. Okay? Go back to the recording. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to it. Make notes. All right? Because you leave me here, next week you will not be able to catch me again. Okay? So he went on to the human class. The human species. He looked at he's going to have a Zoe class. He's going to have foolish virgin, a serpent class. Sorry that yellow is too bright. But on my screen, it's not yellow. So he's going to have creation. He's going to have botany. He's going to have the animals. Okay? He's going to have the marine life. He's going to have the planets, the zodiac. All those are plans. All these are plans, brothers and sisters. Plans of what he is going to do. Okay? Just give me a second. Okay? Of plans of what he's going to do. Why? Because he's come from absolute eternity. He stepped down with his nature. Okay? And in this nature now, he says, look, I want to express myself. But in order for me to do that, I need to be Zoe. So this is where Zoe starts in the seventh dimension. He brings all his seeds with him. All his clean, his thinking form has not been expressed as yet. And what is he going to do? You'd find that this is where the Holy Spirit now, there's a distinction that takes place, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's going to distinguish himself with the spirit of the devil, the spirit of the human being, all those things. That is why you have Holy Spirit. Spirit, holy, because that spirit is holy. Sometimes we say Holy Ghost. It's a ghost of a holy being. Holy Spirit, it's a spirit of a holy being. And this being is going to express himself, all right? And as I said to you, that body of light of God is actually in a triangle shape. In a triangle shape. All right? I'm going to hold for today. Okay, I want you to go home, study. I'm going to go into the prefigure. I'm going to go into Logos. I'm going to more details. I haven't yet brought the sun. I'm only there where he brought his plans. He brought his plans and he wants to put it into operation. The Lord richly bless you and undertake for you in a special way. All right. Okay. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the time we have. May your Spirit Divine become the teacher. May your Spirit Divine become Lord the Edifier. As Lord, we begin to understand your mind, your thinking, and what you had. Lord, we've seen how from absolute eternity, in eternity, Father, your plans are now begin to unfold. And now, Father, that's John 1:1 in the beginning. We pray that you bless every home, every family of God, undertake for them in a special way. And Lord, you know the week that we have. We ask of you, Father, that you'd guide us. Watch our comings and our goings, that in all things we'll please thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Terrence.